Good morning. Welcome to Newbury Baptist Church. It's lovely to have you here this morning. Whether you're here for a first visit or you come here every week, it's really lovely to see you. And we're looking forward to worshipping God together. Can I remind you that we have two opportunities to pray together tomorrow. At 11:30, we gather together to pray for around about 45 minutes. If you've got a lunchtime slot, when you can come and join us. And then 8 o'clock tomorrow evening for 1 hour, we'll be together down here to pray. And it really would be good to see you either, or indeed both of those, if you can come. Thank you so much. Can I thank as well the team who helped to organise everything for Rosemary's Thanksgiving on Friday. It was a joyful occasion, it really was. And your practical help made the whole thing work. So thank you to those who catered and opened the doors and welcomed people in. I really do appreciate that. Now, just after our service this morning, well, 11:20, we shall have our church business meeting. That will take place in the hall behind me here. We've kind of half closed it off, so if you've got children with you, you can linger by the door and hear what's going on. Or if you've got quiet children, you can come in and join us. You're all welcome to join us for that. Only members can vote, but we would be very glad indeed to welcome you all to that. That'll start at 11:20, so if you want to get your coffee, and then someone will come in and shout nicely at you to tell you that it's time for the church meeting, and we'll finish that by 12:15. Looking forward to that. And I have one other announcement for you. I wonder whether we can all say huge congratulations to Duncan Shelton and Beth Edwards on their engagement. There's a pair of billion kilowatt smiles going on down here. Let's pray for them, shall we? Father, thank you for these two. Thank you for all they mean to us and to you. And we ask you to set your seal upon their shared journey together. Father, bless them and make them a blessing in all that lies ahead, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand up together, ready to worship God.
This is a wonderful promise from Jesus.
And it comes with your name on it today. This is what he says: if the Son of God shall set you free, you shall be free indeed.
Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time. Just as you are to worship, come. Just as you are before your God, come.
Sing one day.
One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those.
One day every tongue.
One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. You are before your God.
There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, into the darkness you shine. Of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God.
Do please sit down and we'll pray together. Turn water into wine, Father, we pray. Will you turn our insipid devotion into fiery zeal? Father, will you shake us from our ease? Will you come and wake us up? Will you please shake the dust from heart and mind and soul this morning and show your presence here? Father, please, will you forgive the sins that entangle us, the mean things that we think and say, the shabby things that we do? Father, please, in the name and for the sake of Jesus, lift those things from us now and flood this place with your presence, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, usually at this point, I have a bit of fun because I know what's in this box and you don't. Today, I have no idea what's inside this box because I didn't put it in there. And in a moment or two helpers are going to come and show you. So I'm going to turn it round so it's ready for you to see. Is you've got two people who've been away doing something really special. And they're going to tell us about it. First of all, let's see a little video clip of what Keris and Eva have been up to. And then they can come and help me. Thank you, Phil.
We are aching for the real thing. Hearts are
Keris and Eva, come out and join me. Come on, come and sit down here with me. So you've been away on that Christian camp that we've just seen on the film. You can take your thing out of the box first, Keris, and tell us what you've got in there that reminds you of your camp. What have you got?
I've got a lizard that can move.
Okay, and why does that remind you of camp?
Because I liked making it.
You made it? Oh, wow, you have to see this. This is a serious bit of craft. Look, you know the things you get where you get a snake and you hold the end and it wiggles? That is brilliant. That's great. Okay, Eva, what have you got inside there? Let's have a look and see. You get your thing out of the story box then and show us what you've got.
I've got a photo from in my group.
So was that group, were you all in a tent together or?
It was in a tent.
Okay, let me just have a look. Obviously, you can't all see this. There's a group of very happy-looking people. So you've got, what, two leaders there in your tent?
We've got two leaders.
Okay. Now, oh, dear. Someone wants to come on camp next. So, Eva, when you went on this camp and you had a lot of fun, obviously, in your group, what do you think you learned about God?
What I learned is even though when you're sad, he can always help you.
Okay. And what about you, Keris? What do you think you learned? Don't worry about him.
I learned that God will always be with you.
Okay. See,
whenever you're sad or ungrateful, he'll always be there.
Well, that's great. So you've both come home learning that, really. You've spent some time with people, and you've learned that he's always there, no matter what. So here's the big question, though. Who shall I start with? I'll start with Keris. Would you go again?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because it's really fun.
Okay. What? Now, I'm not going to ask you, Jude, but Eva, would you go again?
I'm not sure if I would or wouldn't. I would because I really like going to big church, but I wouldn't because I really miss being at home.
Oh, well, that's nice. There we are. And it's good that you're thinking about it, but you obviously had a really, really good time. And if you want to know a bit more about it, you can always ask these two later. But there's lots of exciting things people have been up to in the summer, and I thought it was good to hear about one of them. Now, before we sing, I think it would be nice to pray for people going into different groups. There's people who will be starting in different groups out the back there today. Who's starting in a new class this week? Who's got a new teacher? Judith's got a new teacher this week. Well, I think we ought to pray for that, don't you? You stay there while we pray. Is that all right? Yeah? Father, thank you for the lesson that you taught Keris and Eva, that you are always there. And I pray that for those who are going to a different group today, and I pray that for those who are going to a different class this week. Thank you that you're already there ahead of them, and we ask you to take very special care of them. Amen. Andy, let's sing. Thank you both.
Praise him, you heavens.
Praise him, you heavens and all that's above. Praise him, you angels and heavenly hosts. Let the whole earth praise him. Shining star, praise him, you heavens and waters and skies. Let the whole earth praise him. Great in power, great in glory, great in mercy, King of heaven. Thank you.
please sit down. Perhaps those are going out to their groups, perhaps a new one today would like to make your way there. Isn't it great to learn, as young as those two are, that you're special to God? Isn't it great to be this early in their lives and to know that they're that precious to Him? The secret is for us to keep on believing that and to keep on living that way, to know that we are His, that we're redeemed by Him, that we matter so very, very much to Him. Let's stand as we sing together, Praise My Soul. Father, for your incalculable gifts, for your inconceivable generosity towards us, we thank you. We ask you to receive these gifts and to bless them that they might do your work. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Would you please sit down? Thank you, Nick.
Father, we want to give you thanks, first of all. We thank you, Lord, for your provision for us in so many ways in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. We thank you, Lord, for our National Health Service, for our doctors, nurses, health workers, and others who work in the NHS. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom to worship here today without fear of attack or abuse. We thank you, Lord, for our friends and our family. Lord, for those who love us and care for us. And most of all, Lord, we thank you for Jesus, who came, who lived amongst us, who died for us to redeem us and to liberate us from sin and bring us salvation. But we know, Lord, we live in a needy world, and we pray for the needs of our world, and we also pray for ourselves here at this church. Lord, we lift up the world situations to you, Lord, where there is the greatest pain and suffering this morning. Countries that are torn apart by war, unrest and famine. Lord, we think especially of Syria and Myanmar and Yemen. We pray for refugees, Lord, fleeing from these countries and from other countries, from tyranny, trying to find a safe haven, somewhere for their family to be secure. And we pray for governments, Lord, that they would act responsibly, protecting all their people, not just those of a particular religion or creed. And Lord, we especially pray for the Rohingya people in Myanmar who've been persecuted and murdered and villages have been destroyed. Lord, please have your hand upon those who are suffering there, and please, Lord, bring some relief from that suffering. And we pray for the government in that land that they would act responsibly. Lord, that they would recognise their responsibilities to care and not abuse people. And Lord, we turn to our own country, the United Kingdom. We give thanks, Lord, for the wonderful summer that we've enjoyed this year. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that that's provided for us to get out and about, to enjoy our countryside and our beaches, and spend time maybe with our families and friends. But Lord, with that hot, dry weather, Lord, comes a problem. And we do pray for our farmers, Lord, who are struggling due to this. We pray for churches and church leaders in these rural areas that they will be able to offer support to all in the farming community. And we do lift to you our government, Lord, here and all our politicians. And at this particular time when we're thinking of leaving the European Union, we pray, Lord, that they would seek a workable and an appropriate solution to leaving the EU, which is beneficial to all of our population. And finally, Lord, we turn our thoughts to our church community here, praying for our leaders. We thank you for Richard, and we pray your blessing upon him, and that you would continue to inspire his ministry amongst us. We pray for our deacons, the responsibilities laid on their shoulders, that you give them strength and wisdom. And we pray for all who serve in leadership roles in this church. Thank you for their dedication and commitment. Thank you, Lord, for those youth leaders and children leaders who have just gone out to care for our young people. And Lord, we pray for those who are ailing in body, mind or spirit this morning, those recovering from operations, and Lord, those waiting for them. I just lift to you Diane, my wife, this morning, who's ill in bed, seriously ill with a bad ear infection. I pray you would share and come with me on that, Lord, and that the people here would be aware and pray for her. And Lord, we pray for those who are bereaved and those who are mourning the loss of family and friends at this time, whether they're family and friends who've died recently or maybe some time ago. We know, Lord, grief, Lord, is a difficult thing, and it's with us quite often for a long period of time. And we pray for comfort and for hope, Lord, for those who are in this situation, that they may be able to come through a dark period in their lives and see, Lord, the hope that you're providing before them. And Lord, we offer all these prayers in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
Let's stand together, shall we, and sing Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. Continue to sing about God's amazing grace with this song, Your Grace Is Enough. Your grace is enough, more than I need. At your word, I will believe. I wait for you, draw near again. Let your spirit make me new, and I will fall at your feet. I will fall at your feet, and I will worship you here. Your presence in me, Jesus, light the way. By the power of your word, I am restored, I am redeemed. By your spirit, I am free, and I will fall at your feet. I will fall at your feet. Upon that cross, great is the love poured out for us. This is our God. Lifted on high from death to life, forever our God is glorified. Servant and King, rescue the world. This is our God.
and I will fall at your feet. I will fall at your feet, and I will worship you here.
Do please sit down as Roger comes to read to us. Thank you.
This morning's reading comes from 2 Kings, chapter 7, commencing to read at verse 3. Now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, "Why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is here and we will die. But if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, well, then we die." At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there, for the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army. So that they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us." So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp, entered one of the tents, and ate and drank. Then they took silver, gold, and clothes, and went off and hid them. They returned and entered into another tent, and took some things from it and hid them also. Then they said to one another, "What we're doing is not right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace."
Thank you, Roger. Story which is obscure to some of you, I suspect, but a good one. You know, here at Newbury Baptist Church, we've done our dreaming, and thanks again to the team who headed up the Time to Dream project. Now we're off to do our consulting. After that will come the time to do our planning, and after that will come the time to do our building. But if we want to be church, if we want to be the body of Christ on earth, if we want the new building to bear witness to far greater deeds of God than the old one has done, we must find ourselves in a position to offer 24-carat hope to the world around about us. We must be as able to sing the song of the gospel as a robin is ready to sing on a tree in your back garden. And that was always in the plan. That's why I decided that we were going to have this course starting a week on Monday called Evangelism for the Reluctant. And I'll tell you more about that next week. That's why all our Sundays between now and when we start on Advent are to do with sharing the good news. All of that had been planned for good reason. And then this week happened. Then this week happened, and on Friday, 70 of us gathered in here and heard things about Rosemary's faith that many of us never knew and realised quite how deep it ran. And another thing, a Monday happened as well. Monday, I went to meet up with some friends, some old friends that I haven't seen for a long time, and we arranged that, because it was kind of equidistant for both of us, we would meet at Clevedon. And I'd not been there before, so they said, "Look, you know, we know the layout. Let's walk down to the river. It's lovely down there." So I walked down there with my two friends, both of whom are in their 70s. And Colin was busy explaining to me all about the holiday just been on as we were walking along the riverbank. And as he looked across his shoulder to talk to me, so he stepped out into thin air and dropped 6 feet into the river below. And I peered over to see him floating on his back with his face just in the water, motionless. So I jumped in, got his face out of the water, and thankfully some people came along and helped us to get out, and he wasn't badly injured. He was that far from a stake in the riverbank. And then you see this all looks a bit different. When I put that together with Rosemary's stories, it makes me realise how urgent all of this is. We are God's means to market the gospel to the world. And this story reminds us of some fundamental truths about that. And here's the first one. The situation is absolutely desperate. You know, in the story that was read to you, the people are starving. And we kind of zero in on these three lepers, but everybody is starving. If you flip back to the previous chapter, chapter 6 and verse 25, it tells you quite how desperate the situation was. It says there that a donkey's head, now there's a yummy meal, a donkey's head was selling for a kilogram of silver. That's £33,000 in our current money. That's how desperate people were, that they would snap up a tiny bit of food for that amount of money. Verse 2 of the chapter that Roger read out to us, the king is so weak and fearful that he dare not even leave his palace without someone's arm to lean on. And he's become so skeptical that later on in the story, when the battle is won for him and somebody tells him that, he's so skeptical he can't or won't believe it. And these characters that we met at the beginning of the story, these desperate lepers living outside the walls of the city, the walls which were once designed to keep the enemy out have now become a prison, keeping hunger and desperation and death on the inside. The promised land was a land of curse and disappointment only. In this land, pride had turned to shame. And wealth had turned to poverty, and harmony had turned to discord, and courage was swamped by caution, and hope was muted by despair. But then again, maybe I'm not talking about that country anymore. Does any of that list sound familiar to you? That desperate situation? Did you see the story this week that one in five 14-year-old girls in this country have self-harmed? Anxieties and the symptoms of them run deep, deep, deep. You've only got to open a newspaper or turn on the news to see that we're living in a time where the politics is a politics of despair. You know that thing in Starbucks where they write your name on your cup? Somebody spelt out to the barista that their name was Stopbrexet. So they paid for the money, barista came along and then shouted to a full-up coffee shop holding up a cup, "Stop Brexit! Stop Brexit!" And they alternately cheered and groaned. But it's not actually a laughing matter. It's a mess. We are in a mess. And all the while, so far as I'm aware, and you can tell me afterwards if I'm wrong, so far as I'm aware, we have never once had to turn people away at the door of this church on a Sunday and send them somewhere else because we're too full up. This is where we're at. We are at a point in the life of this country and this town where people are spiritually starving. Where people are dying for lack of Jesus in their lives. And these men in the story, they know they've got absolutely nothing to lose. They say, well, look, you know, let's chance it. We'll go into the camp. If they kill us there, either we die here, we die there. Let's just go do it. They are absolutely desperate. They're at rock bottom. The situation is that hard. But isn't that often the point where things get turned around the most? Isn't that often the time where God nudges people into doing miraculous things at that point where the situation is desperate and the hunger, be it spiritual or physical, is at its worst? You know, it's the moment with the prodigal, isn't it? The moment with the prodigal when he sits there looking at the pigs eating and thinking, well, I wish I had something to eat. It's that moment with Nebuchadnezzar in the story of Daniel where a man who had everything has lost it all and out in the wilderness suddenly comes to his senses and says, he's God and I'm not. It's that moment where Paul, blind and wretched and on his knees, realizes that he's been batting for the wrong team. Right now, the situation is desperate. The spiritual situation all around about us. The United Kingdom is not a Christian country and the gospel is not winning in Newbury. But here's a bit of good news. We don't have to do anything about it. I'm going to qualify that in a moment. We don't have to do anything about that spiritual situation. There's a guy in Teddington Station when I lived there called Alan, and he was an absolute joker. You know, so if you, you know, bought a ticket for £5.50, you would say, "That's £55,000, please, sir." You know, he would give these ridiculous greetings when he came to the station. One time, I was in a real hurry. I'd left it too late. I got to the station. As I was paying for the ticket, I'm looking up at the board, and I say, "Do you think I'm going to make that train?" Very calmly says, "Sir, you don't have to make it. You just have to get on it." We don't have to make the situation better. God has done that. We don't have to sort it out. We don't have to heal the spiritual hunger. God has done that, and we've just got to tell people about it. We have to tell people that he's already done something. That's our job. Not to fix it, not to change it all, but to tell people that God is capable of changing it all. It's not such a big deal. But that's what he asks of us. You know, these people, they get into the camp. Verse 5, you've got it open in front of you. They get in and these incredible things happen. Everybody's gone. The whole camp's empty and the weapons have been abandoned and their cattle have been abandoned and the cavalry's left their donkeys behind. It's all gone. And then they start to go from tent to tent to tent, and they're gorging themselves. They're filling themselves up. These guys haven't seen food for a long time, and they're absolutely lapping it up. And nobody lifts a finger to stop them. And the reason nobody lifts a finger is because nobody's there. God has stage managed the whole thing and won a bloodless battle. And even though the king's very skeptical when he first hears about it, when he sends the scouts off, and they come back, you read it further on in the story, verse 15. And they come back and they talk about the road out of the camp, littered with all the armament and the things that people had left behind. Then it becomes apparent that God's done the whole thing. When these lepers have their aha moment, when they're sitting there in the tent, all the food dribbling down their chops that they've been eating, and they suddenly remember that just a few metres away, people inside the city are starving, and they say to themselves, literally, "We're going astray," and they realise they ought to do something about it. When they realise all of that, let's be clear, they had not scared the living daylights out of their enemies. They had not vanquished them, never to be seen again. They had not won a magnificent victory without an arrow being fired or a spear being thrown. God had done all of that, and all they had to do was to tell people about it. You know, when we talk about evangelism, it's not that we have to solve the ills of the world. We're those guys in the tent. We're those people who've found that there is food for us when we are starving. And once in a while, God needs to shake us and say, "And what about everybody else? When are you going to tell them? Or is it that you wanted them to starve as well?" Hebrews 10, verse 10. We have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ. Here it comes, once and for all. Colossians 1:20. He has made peace through his blood and shed it on the cross. To speak up for the good news, however we do it, and we're going to learn that together over the next few weeks, but to speak up for the good news is to do no more than point to something wonderful that God has already done, like these guys running back to the city and saying, "You'll never guess. We didn't do it, but God's done this wonderful thing. He's done the hard work. He's turned death to life. And all you and I have got to do is to tell people about it." And here's the other good thing. The message, dare I say it, matters more than the messengers. You know, you look at yourself in the mirror, and I suspect that 9 days out of 10, you do not look and say, "Hey, there's a good advert for the gospel." But look, the message is more important than the messengers. The Bible is full of unsuitable people doing incredible things for no better reason than the fact that God has told them to. Moses, an unwilling partner in leading God's people to safety, who tries and tries so desperately hard to get out of it and say he's not up to it, but in the end he does it. Isaiah, who's all but struck dumb by the first revelation of God he was ever given. Gideon, whom we were talking about 2 weeks ago, who's weak and unsure and afraid of his own shadow. Paul, who's belligerent and opposed to Christ with every fibre of his being, and yet God prevails and he uses them. These are the most bizarre people to use in this story. These lepers. These four men who are both literally and metaphorically outcasts. The people in the city don't want them because they're full of disease. And the people in the camp don't want them because they're full of disease. They're so unwelcome everywhere that they say to themselves in verse 4, "Oh, hang it all, let's go and risk it." Would you pick those people for the job? Of all the people to whom to give such a task as this, God gives it to them. But you see, the message matters more than the messengers. And this is God's way. This is the way of God who looked at Ezekiel cowering with the refugees on the muddy banks of the Tigris and said, "You look like a man who could do with a spectacular vision of my glory," and gave it to him. This is the way of Jesus who looked at his ragtag collection of shell-shocked disciples after the resurrection and said, "You'll do nicely to tell the world about the gospel." This is the way of the Spirit who looked at a certain student about to graduate with no clear idea about where he was going or what he was doing and said, "You'll do nicely as a minister of the gospel." If sharing the good news was all about our powers of persuasion, then when we get to heaven, we would take the credit for the population of it. And we're not going to do that. And that's not right. God chooses to use beggars and disciples and people like us. Why? Because that's the way it is. You see, the situation is desperate. But God has already done something about it. All we've got to do is tell people. And when we do so, we need to keep that perspective that the message is more important than the messenger. And so God, in all his wisdom, looks at you and me and says, "You'll do nicely to share the gospel." Let me close with a little bit of testimony that was shared here at Rosemary's Thanksgiving on Friday. It came from a friend of hers. And maybe it makes all the points that I've just been making, certainly about the message being more important than the messenger. It's written by another Rosemary, actually. This is what she wrote. "My first memory of Rosemary was when I was about 14 years old, when I heard her give her testimony at a house party. I'd been confirmed a few months earlier, but although I went to the parish church in St. Leonard in Sussex, I was not sure if I really was a Christian. Rosemary got up in this meeting and talked about the fact that she had brittle bone disease, which meant that she often had to go to hospital. However, she said that she was glad about this. She said she even thanked God for this, as it gave her the chance to go around the ward and talk to people about Jesus. I could not understand how anyone could thank God for being ill. It challenged me about what it meant to be a Christian. And over that weekend, I became a Christian too." To share the good news is our duty and our joy. And God would not ask us to do it if he didn't think we could. Let's pray together. Father, for this good news which has transformed so many of our lives. For this good news which has replaced despair with hope, we thank you. And we ask, we plead, Father, that you would make us better at sharing it. In Jesus' name, amen. The task goes on, and it will do until Jesus comes back. And it's ours to pick it up and run with it. Let's sing together, "Facing a Task Unfinished." friends, may you go in peace to love and serve the Lord.